listening to the Nerds Assemble podcast.
Welcome to episode 233 of the Nerds Assemble podcast. I'm Emily.
I'm Paul.
I'm Paul, aka Cookie.
And I'm Paul, aka Retroid.
Thank you for joining us this week. We have got a new stand here at Alpha Paul and Mine's place, because after recording episode 232, the stand of many years for a microphone finally decided it had had enough. Not only had it been drunkenly leaning towards us for many a month or year, but
it had been leering at us. Yeah.
Leering at us. And then, well, the holder for the actual mic decided to snap right off the end of the stand. So, we thought it was time. And unfortunately, other things that unfortunately had their time was unfortunately Stan Lee in the last couple of weeks. Not shocking news, but sad news that he had he's passed away. Originator of a lot of comic book characters and series over the years.
I expect the next 5 or 6 Marvel films will all be in memory of him.
I mean, he's got cameos for, was it at least 4 films already recorded or something? So he's going to be in them for like a little bit longer, which is going to be a bit weird, actually. I mean, mind you, I mean, Carrie Fisher's role in The Last Jedi was, watching that, because that was a bit weird, because it wasn't that long, within the same year. So, but so I'm not sure what to say about something. Look, I'm kind of glad that he had such an influence on entertainment media.
Yeah, definitely. And he had such a good imagination as well.
And that also he was quite keen on, like, diversity and stuff. Mm. And just, making...
He was very keen on humanising the heroes as well, wasn't he? Because you had Superman, who was larger than life. He was the American way. He was justice. And then you had Spider-Man, nerdy teenager with real issues of bullying and stuff.
Which is a big freaking difference between DC and Marvel.
It definitely always has been.
It does seem like some of the better, older people have died over the past couple of years. But let's get rid of some of the crap people as well. Absolute silence.
You are endorsing, trying to get us to endorse something which...
Well, I'm not endorsing it. It's just, it's one of those things.
Just get rid of them.
There's a lot of
him off.
There's been quite a few legendary, kind of people like Barry and Alan Rickman and stuff.
Yes, but they all lived pretty much full lives, didn't they?
Yeah, but by the same token, I don't think there's been any deaths recently that's been like, he was a bit of a twat.
No, not that you mentioned
it. No, there hasn't, to be fair, yeah. You've got that one there. You have indeed.
But I'm not sure if that's the best way to mark celebrity deaths.
By how much of a twat they are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, unless they've, unless jail time or, prosecutors have been interested in them.
What about if they've just said stupid stuff?
I think it's whether or not they've done stupid things as well, it's more.
Yeah.
But,
Stanley was a good one. Stanley was a good one.
Yes, he was. Very good one.
Meanwhile, Bill Mayer's kind of been a bit of a jerk.
Yeah, why couldn't Bill Mayer died instead?
That way, though, I just don't point thinking about it in that way.
No, I suppose not.
And I was kind of disappointed that he thought that was going to be okay. But also, like, I'm not sure, because he did it on his blog, this whole thing, this whole shtick. Mm. And it was like, okay, but who's your target audience for this? Because that blog's written for money, I think, pretty much. Yep. So I'm not sure if his regular audience gives a fuck enough for him to have a strong opinion about comic books as a whole. He's not really going to get any money from comic book geeks by making those claims. And even, I don't know, because I did not want to wander onto his actual site. I don't know if he's got ads on there, but I would say that stereotypes about the kind of people that tend to read comic books in terms of being a bit geeky means there's a higher chance of them using ad blockers, which means that even if they did wander onto his site, he still wouldn't get much money from the ads because they're more likely to have used ad blockers.
Ooh.
But... and then he decided to make further comments about it, which was just like, oh God's sake, just shut up, please.
I think it was all just, he just saw it as all the publicity stunt to get his name in the news.
Yeah, basically what was done to his edgelording.
Yeah, then he should have just kept his mouth shut.
Yeah.
And stepped away, showed a bit of respect.
Yeah,
it's probably a universal from a man who thought it was absolutely fine to invite Milo Yiannopoulos onto his show.
Yeah.
He doesn't seem to be very with it, does he?
It's like I used to watch his original show. I think it was Politically Incorrect, or you know, whatever it was. It was shown on UK satellite TV. This is back before we had digital satellite. You know, and Sky only had about 20 channels, if that, and most of them, you know, about half of them support. But, yeah, I used to watch him then, and occasionally, you know, it'd be, oh, yeah, you know, I think I agree with him. And then he'd get a guest on who would just not play along with his shtick and, you know, push him a little bit, and he'd turn a bit nasty on them.
Oh,
that's the worst.
Yeah, it's like, oh, I see, you just want your own way.
Mm.
You don't want to be, you know, oh, you know, this is where we discuss things, but if someone discusses it and doesn't agree that, you know, Bill Maher is awesome and, you know, is very, very smart, etc., then, you know, oh, might be wrong. Then, oh, yeah, he didn't like that. And I thought, oh, right, he's a bellend. And, you know, years later, you know, just, you know, wibbly wobbly, whoop, Bill Maher being a bellend.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh, it's a shock.
Bringing this back to Stan Lee for a moment, I think perhaps one aspect of Stan Lee's legacy I'm less keen on, and that is for him being one of the many people, but one of the main figures for building up Marvel in the first place, that the House of Mickey thought it was worth buying. Because while I like having the Marvel films that we've had since the buyout happened and stuff, Disney's influence over the Marvel archives, the Marvel IPs and everything is not always favourable. And it's very much more market-driven than it had been previously. And in some ways that's good because we're getting more representation and diversity. But in other ways, it's bad when they try to put out, you know, like we said in, was it episode 231, with the amount of content coming out. Yeah. So while I like the diverse worlds and characters that Stan Lee helped enable to come out of Marvel, there is a side to the legacy there where it's kind of like it's just fed into this massive multimedia machine that, while it will pay little bit more than lip service to Stan Lee's memory, it's a massively sort of like massive money-making machine.
Well, I mean, to illustrate your point, there was a post kind of pointing out just how many Marvel, just how many Disney films are due out next year.
Mm.
And two of them are Marvel.
Yes.
Or at least, you know, have release dates and whatnot. So you've got Captain Marvel and you've got Avengers 4.
And Spider-Man.
And, yeah, I think...
Mm.
Spider-Man, Yeah, June.
Ah, okay. But then you also got stuff like the live-action version of Dumbo, Toy Story 4, Wreck-It Ralph 2, or is that this year?
I think that might
be
this year.
This year.
Ah, okay.
Wreck-It Ralph 2 is this year.
But yeah, just like, there's kind
Star
of
Wars all, 9.
Pretty much one per month almost. For most of the year, there's one per month, at least. Which is quite ridiculous if you think about it.
I mean, it's not like there's a broad range of stuff either. You know, it's not like they're doing, you know, one superhero film and then, you know, the next month they're doing a Western, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
It just seems a bit focused and a bit weird.
Yeah. I mean, especially using existing IPs as well.
Oh, yeah, well, yeah, reusing the live-action Dumbo and Lion King and stuff. It's just like,
do you want to come up with a new story?
Nah, because, I mean, a bunch of those, I do wonder about the origins of Dumbo and that, but, like, at least we know with the likes of Beauty and the Beast that it wasn't an original story.
Hmm.
So,
I mean, I think Pixar almost like the only creative studio in a way. I mean, not saying that Marvel isn't creative, just that it isn't creating unique superheroes and characters for the Marvel universe.
Much at all. But anyway. But
in terms of like films.
Yeah. Bringing this back to Stan Lee and then moving on. Sad he's gone. Little unsure about the legacy. Also a little worried about what might happen with aspects of his estate and stuff, because obviously in his later years there's been quite the kerfuffle over his care as an elderly gentleman. And it does make me wonder if we're gonna see some of the nastiness that's come out of things like obviously the ongoing stuff of like Bob Kane and stuff that's happened over the decades on the DC side in terms of, you know, like important creators and what's happened with their estates and rights and things over the years. So yeah, I do worry that there might be some messiness, unfortunately.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting, isn't it?
Hopefully there won't be, and, you know, it will be reasonably okay, but if something does crop up, I wouldn't be surprised if it did.
Yeah.
Okay, moving on. So, have we all survived Black Friday and Cyber Monday and blah, 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 blah?
Oh, did completely unscathed.
Did anyone buy anything?
I only bought the remake of, I think it was Monster Boy, and the Dragon's Trap. Was it?
How? What? When was that? When was it originally made?
Wonder Boy, sorry, Wonder Boy. That's the one. Wonder Boy and the Dragon's Trap. Original. It's the remake of the original Sega, which was on the Switch for $8.99.
That's good going.
Yes, I thought so. So I've been looking out for it for a while, to be fair, because it is quite, it's got some very good reviews, and the new art style is quite nice.
Well, I haven't had any money to, because I get paid tomorrow, as in Wednesday. So,
well, the other thing is, I don't get paid till the end of the week anyway, so I was very restricted on what I could get anyway. But to be honest, looking at the deals, there was some good stuff on the Switch consoles, and I think the Xbox One S consoles were down to about £170.
Yeah.
So that was good, but there wasn't actually that much else I could see.
I got a crazy theory just popped into my head about why Black Friday at least has worked over in the States so much before in the past, and why transposing it over here doesn't necessarily work as well, but which pointing out the discrepancies in pricing to what you think might be a saving, and actually it's been cheaper than that earlier in the year.
Yeah.
Other than that, Americans are more likely to have credit cards rather than debit cards.
Yeah.
So they're living on credit most months, so actually as long as they have a rough idea of what their paycheck's going to be,
They can pay for stuff.
Yeah, they're going to be buying on credit anyway, rather than in the UK, where a lot of people still kind of, their primary payment method is going to be debit when they buy electronically, not credit, unless, of course, they're really worried about who they're buying from, in which case they might use a credit card because of the extra rights you get from doing that, so that if something goes wrong, you can get your money back.
I just don't think there's that much on sale either, to be fair. I mean, a friend of mine was actually looking, he was hoping to get some very cheap flights.
Yeah.
For instance, because they have been known to discount flights on Black Friday to get in the mix. The flights he was looking at actually went up £600 on Black Friday compared to the day before.
That's, wow.
So Black Friday for him was a bit of a cursing Friday, to be fair. So he wasn't very chuffed with that. Which is a bit of a shambles. But the other thing is, normally you see loads of news footage about people queuing up, people fighting over the latest TVs and stuff. The only news footage I found, which I found quite worrying, was apparently there were fights breaking out in some of the little shops because last week was when they had the Kevin Carrot plush toys for sale.
Oh, from the ad?
From the advert, yep.
Oh, God.
And apparently, well, according to some of the papers, customers were scrapping, trying to get to them so they can get them ready for Christmas. And they basically, people were queuing up from about 7 o'clock in the morning just to get in there for a plush toy. Sorry, people were queuing up at 6:30 a.m. Sorry.
Well,
to get the toys.
Did you say this was at Aldi?
Yes.
Was it Aldi or Lidl, sorry? Da, da, da.
Hang on. Dun, dun, dun. It was Aldi.
Aldi, okay.
Yeah, which is, you know, really, really bizarre. It was a cuddly toy, for crying out loud.
I mean, speaking as somebody that was on Ground Zero...
Because I've not seen... I've not seen the advert. I don't really watch commercial TV to see the advert. And I've got an Aldi about 2 minutes from my front door. It's literally just a walk through a cut. And then there's a supermarket. So it's basically my local corner shop. And I have no idea about this bloody carrot.
It's crazy, isn't it? But apparently the kids are raving about them for Christmas and everybody's gone nuts and buying these plush toys, but they are literally just a cubby toy of a carrot.
What was it like on Ground Zero, Paul?
Yes. It wasn't as bad as we anticipated, really. I mean, we did sell quite a lot, but it was actually reasonable. We didn't have any fights breaking out and whatnot. I've never heard of this, you know, cuddly toy carrot, and there's a whole load of stuff in the back that I have kind of seen, like surprise dolls and stuff like that, and and all sorts of kids' toys that are PJ masks. What the hell is that all about?
Oh, PJ masks with the cat guy and the lizard guy. Oh, God. I don't know. I don't know. I know that a colleague, little boy, came in the other day. It was his birthday, and he had all these PJ Masks toys with him and stuff. But I've not actually watched it. I have no grandkids young enough yet to actually watch it with, is my excuse, and I'll stick to that. Thank you.
Wait, grandkids young enough? Does that mean
Well, they're old enough, young enough. Meg's not into it yet. Okay. I don't think she will be. Reggie's not born yet, so that's sort of him out the window. So,
I mean, I think because we had, kind of sale on, Alexa stuff and... Oh,
yes.
There goes the Echo Dot. Things like the Google Home and stuff as well. Selling quite a lot of those.
Cool.
But it was steady. But it wasn't like, oh my God, I'm gonna, fall over my feet because I'm running so fast, getting items for people.
I think the only other thing I heard of that was my dad, actually, because I saw my dad yesterday. He drove up from Norfolk to see us yesterday, and he came through a little town called Chatteris, where Tesco's have opened up their first budget store called Jack's.
Ah, yes.
And he was saying that they'd popped in there just to see what it was. It was live. Not as cheap as Aldi or Lidl in the first place.
Oh, well done, then.
But they did have Sony Blu-ray players for 20 quid.
Fucking hell.
Which he says, you know, that was a bit of a steal. So I must admit, I've said to him, well, if you stuck on ideas for Christmas, that would be nice. 20 quid. Winner, winner. So, yeah. But yeah, this is proper Sony Blu-ray player for 20 quid. But he said, to be fair, there were still stacks of them.
I did buy something.
Mm-hmm.
I bought, because I kept an eye out just to see if they'd do anything, and I did buy on Black Friday, so it's like a fan jersey for the Boston Bruins, so an ice hockey jersey. Oh. It's not like a full-on replica jersey, but it's like one that's kind of made for just regular wear rather than having loads of pads underneath it and other protective armour.
Cool.
It was reduced by 30%, seeing as how these things go for normally about £140, and I was able to get it for £98.
Cool.
With delivery included, I was kind of like, yeah, I'll just do that. Yeah, that's cool. But that was the only thing that I could be vaguely interested. Like, I was keeping an eye out for maybe some present ideas and stuff, but I was seeing nothing that was of any potential use or need to anyone that I would care to buy presents for.
Yeah, so, fair enough.
And I feel like, I mean, it's at the wrong time of the month for so many people's paydays over here, especially with the lack of credit card use. It's not going to, I mean, I know it boosts sales a bit, but I don't think it's ever going to boost it by the amount that retailers hope it will.
But the other thing I found is when this first started, what, 3 or 4 years ago, or was it even longer now, it was literally a one-day sale.
Yeah.
So everything was slashed to stupid amounts for 24 hours. Saturday, if you haven't bought it, tough, you're going back up to full price. I noticed that I was getting emails from Game, some other clothes people, and everybody else about 2 weeks before Black Friday, all going, oh, the Black Friday sale is now beginning. We've got this today. And I was just like, really? Hang on, it's not even, you know, for me, close. And to be honest, that just put me off the whole thing anyway, because I was just getting spam in the email. A good 2 weeks beforehand, just raving on about it, and I was just like, you know what, this is stupid. And half the time, the stuff, as you mentioned, was cheaper earlier on in the year anyway, so sod off.
Yeah, it did seem, and also, like, then we had the Cyber Monday sort of thing as well, the Cyber Monday deals. Yeah. And it was just like, well, this is just over egging it. I think British retail certainly has kind of lost the point of a sale. Because since the recession, or the last
since
recession.
GFS. And their never-ending fucking sale.
Yeah, it's
stop.
Like, but there's the whole thing with British retail, regardless of whether or not you're selling video games, if you're selling sofas, everyone has forgotten the point of a sale. Too many businesses seem to have all near perpetual sales on now.
Oh, thus, yeah,
and nobody will buy because of this as much as they might.
I will just chip in there and say that I saw a Brexit meme, which was Theresa May successfully negotiates buying a DFS sofa for full price.
Wow. But
is that
accurate?
Brutal. Yeah.
Yeah.
Quite accurate.
And the problem is, because of this, I think the general public are actually getting a lot wiser to these sort of things.
Mm.
So there's a Chinese company who's the biggest Chinese handset manufacturer for mobile phones called Xiaomi.
Mm.
I think I'm pronouncing that right. Who launched their first retail store in London about 3 weeks ago. I don't know if any of you saw this.
Did not, but cool.
Their their phones are Android based and they're quite cheap. They're actually really cheap. And in India and China and other places, they've made their market share compete because they don't rely on the networks. They just sell SIM free. You're getting quite a lot of phone for your bucks. But also they do these things called flash sales. And the flash sales are literally for an hour, they will have some of their phones for sale SIM free at £1.
Whoa. But you never know quite when it's going to drop, one assumes.
You do, because they do advertise it. But so they did. So to constitute a sale, I would say you'd have to have a fairly generous amount of stock. I'm not saying it's got to be limitless, because a sale to me is you've got lots of stock, but you want to shift, or you've got some old stock you want to shift. So you put it on sale just to get rid of it. Not a problem at all. They actually hit a road. I think they managed to mess it up totally in the UK. So they launched in Spain, I believe, about a couple of months ago, and they had 50 handsets for sale at £1. Which, to me, okay, 50, that's not bad. There's still 50 handsets up for grabs. In the UK, they had one for each sale, and they had four sales.
Wow.
That was four handsets. And unfortunately, because after the first sale, I saw Twitter light up with people saying, who actually got one of these phones at £1? Is this a con? What's going on? I was there. I hit it as soon as it hit midday. Boom. Didn't get anything. And they actually had to admit that there was only one for each sale. And now everybody's gone, well, that's a bit of a con, isn't it?
See, I think what they've done there is that they've confused sales with a sale.
Yeah, or the lottery, or prize draw. Yeah. Because it was more of a prize draw, to be fair. Quick, hit that button to see if you win. It only cost you £1, which is fair enough. But in other places, they've been doing it, in, like I say, in Spain, they had 50 handsets. But for some reason, they thought they could get away with just having one handset in the UK per sale. And I think that's actually bit them in the arse a bit, reading reviews and stuff. So, and I think it's because we're getting that. Because we're indoctrinated into this sales atmosphere now. When I was growing up, if there was a sale on, it was on for the Boxing Day sales, which you will probably remember. Boxing Day sales were quite
in
big.
In my day, it was just after Christmas.
Yes, exactly. And it was for 2 days at the most. That was it. That was your job lot. And you knew you were getting quite a good deal. Now...
And you're pretty much knew if you were going to turn up to the, you know, the Boxing Day sales on the afternoon.
Oh yeah,
you were stuffed because it would have gone.
Absolutely. But I think now I tend to actually check if somebody says it's on for sale. I will actually check other sites or other shops, because it's so easy to do online now as well. See what their pricing are, and if it's actually £3 cheaper, I'm like, it's not really a sale, can't be bothered. And I'll actually wait a few more months to see what happens. And that's just the way I look at things now. Whereas before, you'd head into the Boxing Day sales and you'd try and grab as much as you could.
Yeah.
And I think that's the thing, we're so used to it now, you do double check everything.
So, sale fatigue has hit the UK?
I think so, yeah. I think also we're just more savvy. I was reading something the other day, and then we reckon that, I think it was Curry's, when you actually looked at the stuff they've got on sale, it had actually been cheaper during the year.
God, that's bad.
Yeah, but that's pretty much universal. That's just how they work. The number of times I've seen a company get, you know, in years past as well, get in trouble for, oh, buy our thing for £X, and then everyone says, hang on, it was £X minus £5. About 3 months back, when I bought one.
So do you think it's just that we're getting a bit more, what's the word? I would say savvy, but maybe we're just getting a bit more jaded. When they people
jaded
are saying that
might be
check.
More accurate, I think, because
do check now, don't you?
That's my middle name, basically.
What, jaded or check it?
Jaded.
Okay.
Actually, my middle name is also for fuck's sake, but.
Paul, for fuck's sake, would.
Yeah.
Strong message.
And on brand. It's a strong brand. It's a successful brand. It's one of the few successful brands at the moment.
Crazy.
But I think move on to one much shorter update. Updating on the subject matter of episode 232, where we talked about Kickstarter and in particular Rogue Redemption. And its lack of release. It's still got a lack of Switch codes and PS4 codes for backers. It is an ongoing saga with, is it Dark Sea Games?
Yeah.
Dark Sea Games and their publisher not really doing anything at all to kind of like...
So who's at fault here then? Is it the publisher or the actual developer, or they're both?
I think you've got a case of one party blaming another, because Tripwire, who is the publisher for the consoles, says that it's basically Dark Seas, and to talk to them. Dark Seas Games has said only really on like the Steam forums and their Kickstarter page, basically that they're waiting for code or like the keys from for consoles. What that means exactly, I'm not sure. Presumably that means that they're waiting for Sony and Nintendo to come back to them with a bunch of keys that they can hand out. But I find
they should have used the ones from the marketplace already for you guys in the first place.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, just... quite frankly, I don't think... I've never heard about any other publisher having this issue where they're unable to get keys. And so it's like, are you doing anything to chase up these keys? You know, kind of being in contact with Nintendo or Sony about it. And it's kind of a bit suspicious that it's not just one console that's affected. I mean, you could understand if Nintendo is dragging their heels or Sony was dragging their heels, but both is like...
Are you sure that you've
contacted them correctly? Because it kind of feels like you haven't, and you can't be fucking bothered to check.
Yeah. It's a shame, because I was actually looking forward to that game, because it's basically Road Rash, isn't it? The old Road Rash.
Yeah.
And it looked half decent, but because of the way you and other people I know have been treated over this backing, they're not getting a penny out of me. And I know a few other people who've said that to me as well.
Absolutely.
Just out of principle, they will not give the money, because it's defeated the whole object of being a backer in the first place.
Yeah.
So it would be interesting to see what their sales figures are like, actually.
Well, it's been on offer, I know that.
What, already?
Yeah, a bit. Certainly on Steam it has. Maybe a little bit on Switch, but yeah, certainly on Steam past week.
Has it been on offer like Fallout 76 has been?
unsure. do we know anyone
here? It's been on offer quite a bit.
I'm not sure. What I want to know is, do we know anyone who feels burned by Fallout 76?
I have a few friends who bought it. As soon as it was confirmed, it's online only and no NPCs. It was, no.
So, okay, I've missed the whole Fallout 76 thing then. Tell me more, Mr. Etroid and Emily, what's going on with Fallout 76? I obviously lost interest when they did say it was all online only, I have to admit. So, but I'm assuming it's not all gone to plan on release day then.
Well, it the whole thing was supposed to be, everyone was Fallout. But you can play with friends. And as it turned out, you know, Bethesda were thinking, Fallout, but we don't really have to bother with the storyline or proper quests.
Oh, no.
Yeah, and LGR, Lazy Game Reviews, did a video where he was running down his problems, where he'd said he'd played it for about 76 hours. No, 76. 36 hours. And he was comparing it to games like Rust and Ark. where it was, you know, create your own fun.
Wow.
And he said, you know, this is not what a Fallout game should be. And he said, you know, very unlikely that he was going to bother with, you know, with it after that.
Wow. Okay, that's very surprising, to be honest.
And I've already seen it on sale for about 20 quid.
Jesus. That's got to be one of the fastest reduced exceeders games ever, then.
Yeah, it's just, oh dear. I've personally got a hope that it could be... Well, there was an excellent... I say excellent, I have not played it. Mod for Fallout New Vegas called New California, where it was pretty much an entirely new Fallout game that fans have made.
Very cool. Okay.
And so it's always hopeful, but they don't have mod support yet.
Yeah, okay.
And here's the kicker. You can't buy it anywhere, you know, online, other than from their own store. Obviously, talk about the PC version, you know, which is, you know, where the mods would come from.
Yes, yeah.
And, yeah, it's only on the Bethesda launcher, and it's being reduced everywhere, and it's I'm just sitting there thinking, yeah, let this be a lesson.
Meanwhile, they faffed around with this, faffed around with obviously stuff to do with Elder Scrolls Online. Mm. And like we see that story on, was it Eurogamer this week, about that grandmother who's a big fan of Skyrim, but is like, I'm not going to get a chance to play the sixth bloody game because I'll probably be dead by the time it comes out. And it's like,
oh yes, yes.
And it's like, oh, fantastic, you know, like, good point, because yes, I think sir. At the rate they're going, yeah, access to the blooming sixth Elder Scrolls is going to be light years away. I mean, still more likely to happen than a third Half-Life game, but you know, still, you know, too far away, actually, when you consider what they've been spending their bloody time on.
Wow.
Yeah, I have heard thoughts that maybe this was like a shareholder thing, where it was, you know, you don't have a game scheduled for release in 2018, you know, big tentpole release, therefore you need one.
Therefore the world got stuck with Fallout 76.
Yeah.
I mean, is it pretty much kind of like a lot of the buildy elements of 4 just kind of rammed into an online game with people?
Yeah, and you can...
And no story.
You can do things like, you know, you can take a base, as in, you know, like a factory or something, and then other players can attack it to try to take control away from you.
Right.
But then if you take control of it, log off and log, you know, back on, you'll have lost control of it anyway.
What?
It's just, yeah, I genuinely don't know what the hell they were thinking with a lot of it. I own all the Fallout games. And I own several of them, you know, across different formats as well, because of course they, you know, they came out on 360, so I, you know, I got them there. I own them on PC, on disc and download. So it's just
who was it? Who was the original developer? It was Interplay who did the original Fallout games.
I'm trying to think. Was it Obsidian or Black Isle? Or are they kind of the same?
No, I mean, like, real back in the day, like, Fallout 1 and 2.
Yeah. And Tactics.
Yeah. Because I remember years ago when I was still doing regular news beat for GameSite, like, they wanted to do an online game, and obviously, like, Bethesda and that, like, completely shut them down eventually, because obviously they apparently had signed away rights to even do something like that. But what they've been planning, from what I remember of the concept art and stuff for that, actually looked pretty interesting. Whereas what we've got here it's just Fallout 4 with less story. Really?
Yeah. It from what I've seen of the environment, it looks nice. So I hope someone can make a game with it sometime.
Maybe it'll have a renaissance like Final Fantasy 14 did, you know, after some proper development happens for it after launch. And it will turn into this shining something or other that isn't a shining, a shined turd, perhaps.
I just know one of the little nuggets I heard was it has bugs in it from Fallout 3. Because it, if for anyone who doesn't know, Bethesda likes just modding and adapting and building on their old engine. So yeah, there are bugs that were introduced in Fallout 3 and then got patched out, then got fixed. But apparently they are there in Fallout 76.
Fantastic. That's just what you want.
Yeah, it's just awesome, isn't it, when you know you get your $60 game and then, oh no, hang on, is it $40? Yeah, oh hang on, it's down to $20 game.
Well, I think on that note, I'm going to move us on to what we've been up to. Who to go first? I'm going to say Cookie first. Cookie, what you been up to? Cookie? I think he's muted.
Hello. Yes, no, I'm still here.
Sorry. What you been up to, so, mate?
What have I been up to? I've been raising some money for charity at work, getting my chest and leg racks, which was all kinds of painful fun.
Yeah, I can imagine, yeah.
Less than fun, to be fair. Being able to slime my managers, that was good fun. Which is cool. I've watched Venom, which was actually quite enjoyable.
And has been taking a lot of money at the box office.
It has,
still.
Yes.
Breaking records here and there.
Mm. Definitely over 80 million. It's actually caught up with Wonder Woman, hasn't it?
Yeah.
Which, I have to say, Wonder Woman was better, to be fair, storyline. But Venom, I like the character of Venom. I liked how Tom Hardy, who's like a buddy movie with them playing off against each other. So it was good. I didn't think the storyline was the strongest, but it was just good fun.
Yeah.
So that was good. So we watched that. We also started watching Midnight Texas, which is a series on sci-fi.
Yeah, what's it like? Because I keep seeing stuff of it, and I know it's a bit supernaturally.
Did you watch True Blood?
No. Does it tie in with True Blood?
It doesn't, but it's written by the same person.
Okay.
If you watch True Blood and like the seriously wacky weirdness of it, then you'll like Midnight Texas. It's not bad, actually. It's about a group of supernaturals who live in this little town, and they protect other supernaturals. And it turns out that there's a bit more going on, and there's a bit more evil appearing, and this psychic has turned up in the town just at the right time. It's quite interesting. They've got a vampire in it who has been cursed by a gypsy, so he can't feed on blood. He can only feed on emotions, which is quite interesting. A rare tiger.
Okay.
So it's quite entertaining, actually. It's very twisted. It's a bit messed up when you're watching the first few episodes, but it's intriguing. And it's a bit different to what's on to, you know, what else is out there at the moment.
Is it sci-fi produced, or do they just happen to have it?
I think it's just sci-fi happens to have it, to be fair.
Okay, cool, because I do sometimes have issues with their self-produced shows.
It looks, I've seen the trailers and it looks a little bit Tesco value genre.
So it's, I don't know. Yeah, so it's worth watching the first couple of episodes to see if you like it or not.
Mm.
It won't be everybody's cup of tea. Definitely not. So been doing that. I've been playing a lot more Fortnite in between work on the Switch, which is quite good fun. Also been... What else have I done? Crikey, that would probably have to be, I would say, apart from... I'm trying to think. It's been a while since I've been on the show, hasn't it? A couple of weeks. Oh, and of course we join the new Doctor. Yes. Jodie Whittaker has stolen my heart, bless her. She says the Doctor.
What did you think of the latest episode?
So...
has I answered it?
Fuck off, I think the word's been it was the weakest of the series so far, I think. I was really surprised by Alan Cummings in it, who played James First, because he came across as a bit of a twonk, to be honest. A bit of a prat.
I was trying to remember if James First was one of those twittish rulers of ours, because obviously he precedes Charles, so...
Yeah, but I didn't think he was that much of a prat. But it just, yeah, it just seemed to be... not as strong as the last few episodes. I really liked the one in India with her grandmother. That was a really good episode. And Kablam was quite good as well. I like Kablam.
There was much commentary in both those episodes.
Did you hear about the mix-up with Amazon Prime?
Yes.
What?
Oh, they released the wrong episode, didn't they?
Yeah, people who had the, was it the season ticket or whatever on Amazon Prime, they went to watch Kablam, and before it was broadcast, they got the Witchfinder episode.
Wow.
Which was amazingly messed up. But yes, apart from that, I would have to say that's me at the moment.
Retroid?
I was just going to add that I thought that this episode of Doctor Who was weak, but what was striking to me was that it would have made a good, say, four-parter Tom Baker story.
Yes, it would have done, to be fair.
I would have liked to have seen far more going on with, they find a small village and it's waylaid by witchcraft, etc., but it turns out that it's not.
Yeah.
And instead it just came across as a episode.
The one thing I did like about it was the nod to the fact that the Doctor is now a female instead of a male, which kept saying this would be so much easier if I was still a male because Darwin had this issue in this time and place, which was quite an interesting twist on it, especially when King James is going on about, oh no, you can't be a rich finder general, don't be so dark. I was thinking, bloody hell. Okay.
Yeah.
So, but... see how she was coping in that time period as a different, different gender, basically.
Yeah.
But they didn't do enough of that to warrant it. If that makes sense. Like you, so it could have been, it would have been better as a four-part Tom Baker story.
Yeah, which a four-parter Tom Baker story, because the old episodes were only about 25 minutes, it would have just been like a two-parter. So that would have been nicer, but yeah, it's
I could have done with a bit more build-up myself, actually, to what the reveal was.
Because it should have been half the episode, the Doctor going, what the hell, this can't be witchcraft, but this is a bit weird, isn't it? It's a bit witchy. Yeah. And everyone going, ooh, could it be witchcraft, Doctor? And her going... I don't know anymore, and then turning out no.
There's a
instead of oh, there's witches, and them going, yeah, there's no witches, is there? Nah, there's not. It'll be aliens. Lo and behold, aliens. It's like, we know that, but you know.
Characters. Anyway.
Yeah. Anyway, I have been continuing our rewatch of Buffy the Vampire Slayer. We finished season two. last night, with that ending.
That's when Angel loses his soul?
Well,
he's lost his soul for most of this season.
Oh, yeah.
That's the one with Spike and Drusilla, isn't it?
Yes, and there's it came out in about 1998, so I'm not going to be bloody spoiling anything.
Oh, does...
Angela... Sorry?
No, I'm just trying to think. Does Buffy runs away? Does she run away
yes,
at the end of this?
Yes, she yeah. does. Yeah. Because Angelus and Drusilla have this smashing idea of ending the world with this dug-up demon that has yes. been discovered.
Oh, that statue that they...
Yeah, and, yeah. you know, Spike, who's been who's also spent most of this season, you know, being injured and playing second fiddle to Angelus, who's been... cozying up rather too closely to Drusilla, who and he is of course her sire.
Yeah.
He gets you know sick of all this and he can you know he meets up with Buffy and pretty much says, we need to join up because it's like yeah I hate you you hate me but this world has got lots of, you know, it's got cigarettes and Manchester United and, you know, people walking around that I can feed on. I like it. I don't, you know, we always say about ending the world, but it, you know, it's big boy talk. It's just, it's just to show off. You know, I like the world. I don't want to end it. So, you know, join up. And she does. And most, just right at the end, Willow succeeds in restoring Angelus' soul, making him angel. But to stop the end of the world, Buffy has to slice him.
Slice him and dice him.
Ouch. Yeah, so of course, she's a little bit upset by this.
Yes.
So she runs off, and I rather like the first episode of the, you know, the third season, where... she's ran off to LA. She's working as a waitress called Annie and stumbles across a nest of demons who are abducting people and then, you know, making them slave away.
Yeah.
And yeah, she realizes that, oh, she, you know, she can do something for, you know, for people. She, you know, she can do good. She can, you know, stop the bad guys. So yeah. The takeaway so far is it's only in the first season that Buffy looks 16.
Yes.
After she gets, you know, a bit of a, you know, makeover to, you know, stop her looking, you know, quite so, you know, young. It's, you know, everyone's going, oh, but she's 16. I'm going, she's in her 20s. No way is she 16. You have the... the, you know, the characters which are, you know, well established. We watched the unaired pilot, which was the, you know, the one that they wanted, you know, to get it booted up with, but it, you know, it didn't work. They pretty much refilmed it and, you know, gave it more content. And yeah, I prefer the, you know, the Willow that they went with because, you know, she's more a bit kooky. But, you know, Willow is fully formed. Xander is more of a dick than I remember him being at the time.
He doesn't... The character hasn't aged well.
No.
Because he's a bit too... What's the word? He's a very entitled gentleman.
Yeah. Yeah, he expects... He's supposed to be the everyman. That I think that, you know, the geek male viewer will... You know, identify with.
Because none of them are going to identify with Oz because Oz is too fucking cool when he turns up.
Yeah. Yeah. And yeah, he has turned up. And yeah, I just thought, yeah, you know, watching them, you know, condensed, you can see how, you know, the character just works really well with Willow because they're both a little bit off kilter. But yeah, Angel / Angelus is a boring character. And yet he's still better than Twilight.
Yep.
And Spike still remains to be, you know, one of the best vampire characters and one of the best characters in the series.
Yes.
Because he's just better. Spike. Yeah. Team Spike. He's a bastard, but... Yeah.
He's got more going for him than just brooding and being weird. Because Angel's all brooding. Drusilla's all weird.
So. Yes.
And Spike. Also, he doesn't want to destroy the world. So.
So, you know, I've been enjoying watching them. It has been years since I've seen them.
Cool.
But we'll be watching some more tonight, because we're going through about 2 or 3 episodes an evening.
Bonus.
And yeah, and the thing about that, of course, is that it allows all the other series that we're, you know, trying to watch, but they're only coming out weekly. It allows them to stockpile. So when we're finished with Buffy, we can then binge on whatever else. And then, of course, fall off those and be really depressed over Christmas, probably, because we've run out of things to watch. But let's see. So we've been watching and enjoying Buffy. And it's still, anyone who says that, oh yeah, I really love Twilight, watch Buffy.
Yeah.
It came out years before it, and it did a vampire, you know, love story. It does 2 vampire love stories better
than 1
Twilight.
Than bloody Twilight. And Twilight got how much? It was about 6 films.
No, too many.
4.
You know, combined running time of about 17 years.
4 or 5 films, I think.
Yeah, because there's one. There's at least one which is split up.
Yeah, because the Breaking Dawn, which is the final book, was split into 2.
Part 1 and then part 2, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Anyway. So, geez. Otherwise, I've been getting my shed lab in more order, and I'm to the point where I'm starting to fiddle with electrical and electronics things now.
Yeah, cool.
So, yeah, and I'm still waiting for things which I ordered in the 11/11 sale, which is AliExpress's big sales thing. So I ordered I bought stuff in that sale.
Okay.
And things were actually reduced.
Shock horror.
And reduced in a way which means they were cheaper.
I don't know what this cheaper is that you speak of, Retroid.
I know, but never mind. I'm sure Brexit will fix that part of it.
I can't believe that I felt compelled to say it, that I kind of recommended on Facebook this week that, you know, if you want to make a big electronics purchase and you live in the UK, do it before 29th of March, in case it all goes to shit.
Because everything's stupid and the old people want to just twat us over.
But anyway.
Yeah. Oh, and finished watching, we're completely up to date with Walking Dead.
Cool.
Yay.
And I was hoping that the whispering was going to be one thing, but it turned out to be another. Not being spoilery there.
Yeah.
Okay. Not quite sure what you mean by turned out to be another.
I was hoping that, like with most diseases, there are people who have, if not immunity, they have a different reaction.
Hmm.
So I was hoping it was that, but it turned out to be something else. There.
Yeah, okay.
Trying to keep it as vague as I possibly can.
I'm sure our listeners will welcome the vagueness.
Yeah.
So. Okay. Shall we start with the fact that we both saw the second Fantastic Beasts movie, and The Crimes of Grindelwald? Ooh.
Cool.
We had seen the previous one. We hadn't watched the previous one, though, since originally seeing it at the cinema.
So, right,
okay. So, but this meant that if you hadn't seen the film recently, the first one, shit got very confusing, because despite the fact that obviously there could have been time elapsed, for some reason, Rowling, because she wrote the bloody script, I think, don't quote me on that a second, but whoever wrote the script thought it would be a good idea not to mention characters' names. At all. For a long time, that there were huge chunks of the films when characters got introduced and you're like, well, who the fuck are you? I can't remember your name. Okay, I remember your face, but I can't remember your name. Like, the only person you kind of knew was Newt Scamander. Otherwise, it's just like, you're that, are you? I don't know who you are. okay.
So hang on, they're talking about such and such, but is he the one in the coat? Or is it someone else? I don't know. Is it the one with the eye? You know.
It was written by Rowling. And actually, this is the thing. I don't think Rowling can write film scripts. I'm going to say it now. She can't write film scripts. She can write novels. But I'm actually finding her ability to write scripts is really freaking messy. I'm not sure. I think I trust Yates as a director. But the film, it was really hard to follow.
For a second there, I thought you meant like the poet Yates.
No.
I'm just like...
Oh, wow. He was really ahead for his freaking time, Yates was. Oh, my God.
You trust a dead poet over J.K. Rowling?
Well, there were parts of the film where maybe we should have trusted the dead poet.
I'm saying nothing on that one.
There
are plenty of dead poets I would trust more than some acclaimed authors, put it that way.
Yeah. Maybe the film's was a bit sort of tainted for me due to Rowling's comments on various things this year, because she's been less than stellar. But then there was just like, I don't know, the whole thing, because, okay, Nagini gets introduced in the film. You remember that snake?
Yes, I've heard about it.
Yeah.
I think everyone's heard about it at this point, and it's just kind of like, what was this really necessary? Did we need this? And a lot more what to go with that what?
It was definitely a film that was more designed to be a launchpad for sequels than it was to be an actual film.
Yeah, that's one way of looking at it. It was messy. You just kind of wanted it to get on with stuff, and also there were some questionable like character choices. Like you were like, okay, I get that you want this thing, like this is like your motive, but to get what you want does not make sense that you're gonna do this thing. And there were lots of moments like that, especially with the American witch who is in love with Jacob the Human, the Muggle.
Oh yeah, yeah.
So it's just kind of like, okay, you're gonna do right. Yes, this what? And then the big reveal at the end as to who a certain character is, and it's like, okay, so we're completely going away from what was canon in the original Harry Potter novels. Alrighty, Yes, quite now. Fantastic. And then there was also an issue with, I think McGonagall somehow ended up in the film, even though timeline-wise she'd be too young to be in a teaching position at Hogwarts. So, yeah, it just felt messy. There was, like, certain appearances by other characters where it was, like, you were literally there as a plot device, like, more so than where you appear or you're mentioned in the original Harry Potter films. And then there was this one guy from the Ministry of Magic who I think was seeing Aura.
Which...
The one that went after the kid.
Is that the one that kind of got the job after Newt refused it?
Yeah. I don't think we heard his name at all. And this is what I meant about the whole names thing. Like, I don't think he was even in the previous one because he's a Brit. And it's like, and obviously like the ministry people in the previous film, other than maybe like one, but everyone's American in the previous film. And this is like, it's British Ministry of Magic with a bit of the French Ministry of Magic. And it's like, and like one American from the American Ministry. And it's like, well, for fuck's sake, who is this guy? He's given like this massive, important role. And you're not told who he is. You've got no inkling really of his background other than the fact that he's a freaking dick. You're just like, okay, cool, whatever. I mean, like, sure, you can do that or you could not, because it's really confusing to have this person thrust at you and you don't really know anything about them, including their name. So,
crazy.
Yeah.
Do you get the feeling that it's been, because how long is it?
It's not the
2 years, isn't it?
It's less than that.
Yeah,
I'm
pretty sure it's less than that.
Yeah, like, I think it's more like two-ish.
Oh, that reminded me about something else, but just remind me after this. I get from what I've read of reviews and heard in reviews and what people have said, it sounds like it's either been reshot,
yeah,
or edited to hell, maybe to use less or more footage, or try to jangle things around a bit. But yeah, the overriding thing seems to be a confusing mess. And I wonder, do you think it could be improved by a director's cut or,
I think quite possibly, if there's a load of stuff that's on the cutting room floor, as it were, or in a digital, or what do you call it, the sort of, it's not, because they're not folders when you're editing a film. What's
bins.
The, yeah, there's a whole load of footage in a bunch of bins somewhere that hasn't been used, that would help make everything make a lot more sense.
Like maybe there's just lots of several second clips where people have said, "Ah, Dave."
Yes.
Ah, hello, Bob.
Yes.
Because now we know each other's names, so we will never mention them again. Yes, right on.
Quite, and maybe having cups of tea whilst mentioning each other's names or something. Something names.
I mean, to be honest, it doesn't help the fact that the Ministry of Magic, all of the guys from there, all seem to have the same uniform, all seem to be white, all seem to be roughly around the same height and build.
Yeah.
And nobody mentions specific names, and it's like, hold on, we're meant to be following this?
Yeah.
Are they called the Ministry of White Guys or something?
They might as well have been, rather than the Ministry of Magic.
The Ministry of Chet.
Yeah. Moving on to something that I've actually been enjoying... I've got my hands on Pokemon Let's Go Eevee.
Yay!
Oh, you got kicked out with your rat.
It's not... Eevee's not a rat. Eevee's adorable. I think the majority of people have bought the Pikachu edition. But that's fine, because I can catch, like, Vulpix and stuff, and Eevee's just cool. Actually, Pikachu's kind of a bit shit, as far as I can tell, even in... as the star Pokemon in this game.
You're fine. You don't need Pikachu. You're done with Pikachu.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But Pikachu as a Pokemon generally isn't, like, even with good stats, isn't a sturdy, reliable, Pokemon. It's not one I'd want to build a party around. Though of note is the fact that the Eevee and Pikachu that you get as starters do not evolve. In order to make up for this, they've got higher base stats than if you caught the Pokemon in the wild and stuff.
Oh, right, cool.
Well, I suppose that's pretty much how a lot of people used to play, like the Pikachu edition.
Mm. Yeah.
Isn't it? They're where you could evolve them, but lots of people chose not to because it's Pikachu and they like it from the cartoon, etc.
Yeah. There's been, a couple of features. I mean, it basically, the game plays like how I kind of imagined in my head it was when I played Blue back when that was out.
Cool.
And it is just, it's just nice having all that 3D-ness to it and having it being used. I think perhaps one of the weird things, though, is I'm not sure if this is an ability that's in... either Pokemon Go or in the more recent kind of generation of handheld games. But you've got, when you're in a summary of like Pokemon that you've caught and stuff, you've now got a judge feature after a certain point, and it looks at the potential stats growth. And I was like, it kind of annoyed me because it came along after I'd kind of invested a bit in some particular Pokemon, and it was like, oh, their stats will be okay rather than that they're like great or excellent or anything. And it's just like, well, thanks. Also, what's weird is that you don't, when you encounter Pokemon in the world, you don't fight them, you just try to catch them. And that you get experience for catching Pokemon. Which, is that a feature that's in Pokemon Go?
Yes.
Yeah, that's weird. I'm still not used to that. And kind of planning around like Pokeball purchases and stuff to make sure that I can get the most out of leveling up, because it turns out quite often that trying to get experience through capturing Pokemon is more productive than trying to level up through battles with other trainers. So, yeah. And finally, I started watching the final season of House of Cards.
Oh, cool.
Oh, and?
We
haven't started that.
I'm more than halfway through the season. A lot of interesting things have happened. A lot of fuck you to a certain cast member who's obviously been cast aside. Certainly happens, especially in the first episode. It's quite
interesting. I like it already.
There is a lot of what the fuck's going on, though, happening. But at the same time, some interesting parallels going on with contemporary politics and issues with big money trying to influence, especially big money from a family kind of oligarchical level, trying to influence politics. So some issues with like data, access to people's data and influencing people through like fake news and that kind of going on. So it's pretty good.
Cool.
And I'm definitely going to see it through to the end of the season. Paul, what have you been up to?
I mean, apart from catching up on the weekly stuff, you know, general Walking Dead, Good Place, Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, stuff like that, I've binge-watched the third season of Me, You, Her.
Is that the Polly series that's on Netflix?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, very twisty and turny.
Oh.
Yeah, without giving too much away, it's basically about a couple that, through circumstances, end up opening their relationship up to a third person, another girl, and basically how they try and fit that triad into kind of their existing lives. So yeah, obviously kind of lots of drama and whatnot. Surprisingly amount of drama around the relationship itself as well. Which, yeah, positive and negative, but yeah, on the whole, it's actually quite interesting. So yeah, I mean, go watch it if you want to see an alternate view of relationships in the 21st century, really.
And I suppose then the main thing you're weighing on at the moment is for Smash Bros. To come out on Switch.
Yes. Yes.
This section's going to be a very different thing for you once that happens, isn't it?
Yes. Well, I mean, yeah, you know, I won't make it, you know, a big feature out of it. It's just going to be like, oh, it's good. I enjoy it, probably.
Hopefully. Mm.
Yes.
There's grumbling going on here. Much grumble.
Are you okay there, Retroid? Do you hate the Smash Bros?
I just think it's a bit crap. I've played most of the Smash Brothers games, you know, yeah, in you know, just in little bits, and I just don't get on with them. They're not for me. Let's put it that way. That's the best way of putting it for me. They just don't push my buttons. I've also been given games which are supposed to be better than Smash Brothers. You know, like indie games that, you know, where it's the, you know, the whole jump around on platforms and little arenas and multiplayer and such. And I don't get on with those either.
Fair.
So it's not for me.
That's fair.
Yeah.
Well, I do intend picking it up, especially as it's got online. So I will be more than happy to give you a game on it and watch myself get kicked out and shit out of. That's cool.
Looking forward to it.
Definitely.
I've remembered my thing, the extra thing, which has reminded me about, you know, how long a film was.
Mm-hmm.
Who here has seen Transformers Return of the Fallen or whatever the bollocks it? No, Extinction thing. The latest one.
I don't know.
The latest one.
No.
With the robot. Butler.
With the robot.
Yeah, it's like saying with Transformers movies, the robot is unhelpful.
Yeah, that's The Doctor Who episode with the time travel.
Yeah. The Robot Butler, who I found quite amusing. Very sarcastic.
Hang on. What?
Anthony Hopkins is in it, isn't he?
Is he the butler? Is he somebody
else? No.
Hang on, has there been yet another Transformers film that I'm not...
Yeah.
There's been two Mark Wahlberg ones, right?
Yeah.
Oh, I've only seen the one. Talking about Extinction.
Yeah, move on. Jog on.
It's just... I was cat-sitting this, you know, this last week.
As you often do.
Yes. So I had access to, my in-laws. I've given them access to my Netflix.
Mm.
So, you know, they can enjoy, you know, that because, you know, we've got a multi-screen thing. And I thought, well, I have always been, a Transformers fan from, back in the day. And for my sins, I can't help but watch the Michael Bay shitfests. So I thought, I'll watch Age of Extinction so I don't have to subject my wife to it.
That was a silly thing to do, wasn't it?
I got about... It warps time. I swear it warps time. This film.
You enjoyed it.
I was watching it and it got to a point and I was thinking, this is weird. The Dinobots haven't been in it yet and I swear the film is nearly finished. I checked. I was an hour in. And it's just, how in hell is this just an hour in?
It is a very long, drawn-out film, to be fair, which you should never have watched.
It's even worse than the other ones. The only good thing I can say about this one is it doesn't have the orange and teal colour tint that Michael Bay was obsessed with the earlier ones. That's just about the only positive.
Yeah.
And there's a little nod to how Prime should look, because when he has his battle mask pop up, it shields his mouth just like in the original cartoon. And it was just
great, isn't it?
Yeah. And then they do the whole thing where they completely rewrite the original Galvatron.
Yes.
And sorry, what?
I'm just going to That's my input on that. Rewriting, mostly.
Do you know the origin of Galvatron and such in the Transformers?
I think I've heard it once, but it's been a while.
Yeah, where in the in the big fight in the Transformers the movie, which is the 1986, Japanese animated one. There's a big fight on Earth. And several of the, the Autobots die, including Optimus Prime. And Megatron is mortally wounded. And he gets, chucked out by Starscream because Starscream is a bastard. And then he's picked up by... this is good, I forget the name. But the giant planet-eater Transformer, who... rebuilds him and several other dumped Decepticons into Galvatron, Scourge, etc., etc. In other words, new characters, but with the old personalities. And what happens in this film is that Megatron, who's dead, and I honestly can't remember how, because the movies are a mess and they're almost impossible to follow. He's dead, so this company on Earth, which is definitely not an Elon Musk thing, decide to hack into his brain because he's a machine and learn the secrets of the Autobots, and they can make their Transformers, and they can make their own, so they don't need the Autobots' help anymore. And they decide to give Megatron, who is, who they're convinced they control now, a completely new and different body, and they call him Galvatron.
Huh.
And it's just, wow. The maybe 80-minute cartoon from 1986 was more coherent and had a better plotline than this. And the characters made more sense. So, yeah, I still haven't finished Age of Extinction yet. And, my God, it's just... How do these films make the money that they do? I honestly...
Okay, well, I think we're going to have to wrap it up there, because...
I'm just going to continue ranting about how shit Age of Extinction is for the next few days.
I think,
just off mic.
Yeah, just Twitter will love it.
God.
Well, that's all we've got time for this week. Cookies had to go.
He just went to avoid me having a breakdown over of Extinction.
Pretty much, I think.
I don't blame him. I want to get away from me having a breakdown about Age of Extinction. Because it's so bad. Honestly, it is. I'll shut up now. But it is. It's so awful. Okay, puppies, kittens, electronics.
That's all we've got time for in this episode of the Nerds Assemble podcast. So it is goodnight from...
It's good night from me, Paul Wood. I'm Retroid on Eurogamer.net and Super Retroid on Twitter.
It's good night from me, Paul Blewett. I'm on Twitter as @PaulBlewett.
And it's good night from me, Emily King. I'm on Twitter at EMKingMA. You can find notes for this episode over at www.nerdassemble.co.uk. You can also follow us on Twitter at @NerdsPodcast. I'm on Instagram at @NerdsPodcast. And... we're on Facebook as Nerds Assemble Podcast. You can listen to episodes of this show via Stitcher and iTunes. And you know what? I'm just checking a second because I did a thing the other day and I just want to see if it's...
You did a thing?
I did a thing and I want to see...
A thing was done.
If it's worked. Yeah, or not.
Too many S's.
Have I? Oh, yeah. No. I can't... Oh, guess what? You can now listen to us on Spotify if you so wish.
Woo!
So.
And you can find it by matching my singing.
Yeah, if you just search Nerds Assemble on Spotify, you will find us. We are there.
And we have lots of episodes.
Well, we've got like the last 10 or so, 20 episodes
on
there.
Yeah, there's a few.
Yeah. So, yeah. Go find us. Listen to us. Find us on your favourite... platform. So yeah, good night.
Good night.
Good night. I hear Michael Bay.
Explosion.
I really do. Explosions in Origin Teal. And arse. And shot shorts.